Welcome to a cold, wet and windy Croke Park for the Off the Ball post-match podcast. The conditions absolutely miserable today. The game, anything but.
Sheehan, a right-footed kick to put Kerry into the final. He hasn't caught it well. It's going to drop in the end line. Aidan O'Shea takes it and the referee blows it up. We're going to do it all again. What a game. Kerry 2-14, Mayo 2-14.
These two will have to do it all again next Saturday from 3, and we're really looking forward to it. As always, our GA coverage on Off the Ball brought to you by Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. Follow hashtag hurling to the core. Coming up, the analysis of Mossy Quinn and Paul Early. First though, it is the management from both teams, starting with Mayo's Stephen Rochford.
Did well to pull back from our point down going into injury time. Got an equaliser, and it's still at the, we had to stand back and watch Brian Sheehan have a shot for the winner. So, look, you can have some feelings around being disappointed that you didn't win it or close out, you know, positions that we got ourselves into, and at the same time, there's a relief that you're still in there for next week.
Let's talk about some of the tactical calls you made for this game. The one that jumps out, obviously, I suppose, is the one that will be debated, and you know this yourself, Aidan O'Shea on Kieran Donaghy. Tell me about the thinking behind that and how you think it worked on the day.
Well, it's a little bit early for me to go into the level of analysis that we will give that. You know, we would feel that we give it a lot of logical thinking. We would like to, I suppose, have thought that we were learning from things in 2014 and back to the, maybe back far as 2006 even. So, look, we didn't win the game, so you know, people are going to take the opportunity to say it was this decision or that decision. That's fine with me. People can say what the bloody hell they want.
Yeah. For the goal, I suppose Kieran got a bit of time and space, and I suppose he'd be disappointed to see any player get that amount of time and space to create the opportunity he did.
Well, in fairness, Oisin, what we need to look at is we had possession in the middle of the field and we turned it over really soft in the tackle. Don't think it was something creative, or don't think it was something that Aidan did. I think he had three players running at him. So, you know, being fair to that part on it, Kerry have top players, and they're going to, you know, you hand over the ball in the middle of the field where you're sort of coming forward. You have to turn and defend, and they've got someone like Stephen O'Brien coming like a little train, very hard to defend. So, you know, I don't think whether we had whoever was in the fullback, that was no Kieran did very well for it, no doubt, but I don't think, no matter who you had a fullback, that was just a grade of class creativity by Kerry.
What did you say at half time? Because when you got in behind them, you were doing very well and you opened them up for those two goals and had more opportunities, should have had a penalty as well.
Look, what should have been or could have been doesn't really matter at this stage. We had done some good things, but you know, we were disappointed in how we conceded that goal. We were disappointed in that we felt that, you know, we were giving away maybe one or two frees, or that we were being harshly sort of judged in those frees, and I think that was a lot better in the second half. We gave maybe only two frees away in the second half, like scorable frees. So, you know, we improved on that, but, you know, giving away the goal, the second goal, was disappointing.
Yeah, how important was it to get that discipline right? Because I think you gave away five scores nearly direct from soft frees that you shouldn't have given, that players should have known better in the first half.
Yeah, I had it at four, but it might well have been five. That would have been disappointing because, you know, we would work very hard on our tackle and getting that level of aggression right with the non-concessional frees. But, you know, it's something that we need to probably look at and improve on again for next week, because, you know, those very, very dangerous forwards, and, you know, they'll come with the bit between their teeth, I'm sure, for next week as well.
And it's a ninth championship game for Mayo next week, but we've had this discussion before, because obviously it's not your first replay this year. It's a good thing to get more games nearly than a bad thing, isn't it? Because people will say, well, maybe they're a bit older and they could do without the extra game, but I know you'd look at the positive side of it.
Yeah, it's good for the coffers. It's good that there's somebody here in this building happy anyway about it. Look, it is what it is, you know. If we had won, we'd be training, and we'd probably be training next Saturday. So the reality is that we have a big opportunity next Saturday to win a game that puts us in All-Ireland final, no different than what it was at 3 o'clock today.
How much will you have to think about next Saturday? Because I suppose they'll expect Aidan and Kieran next week. And other such tactical things. Yeah. I know I'm only concentrating on one.
Yeah, well, today is Sunday, and we'll give that a little bit more thought before we sort of delve into it anyway.
Well, I can't wait to watch how you line out next week. Thanks.
Thanks.
Eamon Fitzmaurice, Kerry manager. I know it's pretty soon after the game, but what are your thoughts on it? It was pretty frantic, pretty enjoyable, pretty exciting. Well, it was for the neutral. What was it like for you?
Yeah, all of the above. Look, it was the word that keeps coming into my mind is it was a battle. It was a major battle between two very strong squads that really went at it and put everything on the line, and there was nothing to separate us at the end. So, you know, hugely enjoyable to be involved in games of that magnitude at this time of the season. That's where we want to be, and we look forward to the replay now again next weekend.
Mayo made a great start. You made a bit of a slow start. Is that down to the fact that you hadn't really got a massively competitive game up to today, and maybe, just maybe, it took a little while to get to the pitch of it?
Yeah, I don't buy into that. I think that's your kind of explaining away, you know, a performance then in a kind of a lazy manner. Look, of course, when you're playing games, it sharpens you and it gives your training context and everything like that. But no, I don't buy into that. We were well prepared. We were well ready for the game. And I think you have to give Mayo a lot of credit for the way they started. They really started like a house on fire, and they went at us. And, you know, we had to adapt. And thankfully, we adapted. And we even to go in at half-time level, we did well to come in at half-time level. And we were able to, you know, reassess there and go at it again for the second half.
What were you thinking when you saw Aidan O'Shea going over to Kieran Donaghy? Were you thinking, actually, this is great because one of their danger men now is kind of in a undangerous position by his standards, or compared to where he normally would be?
Yeah, look, I think they're the calls you make in management. You can look at Aidan going back and trying to do a job in Kieran. Obviously, trying to stop Kieran is a big part of the opposition's game plan. And if that's effective, then, you know, you can justify your call. But, of course, Aidan going out of the forwards then as well. You know, there's an element of robbing Peter to play Paul. But when you have very good players like that, you can't have them in two positions at once. And, you know, that's part of management. You make the calls based on what you think will get your team over the line. And very nearly worked for Mayo today.
You must have been particularly pleased with the manner of your goal. You dispossessed them. Kieran got on it, got a bit of space, gave it to Stephen O'Brien, who came running through, and he planted it.
Yeah, it was. We, you know, both goals from our point of view were good. You know, their goals a day like today, they're huge scores, because when the conditions were so tough and it was such, you know, such a frantic match, goals were going to be big scores. And thankfully, we got two, and maybe could have got another one.
Is it going to be hard to kind of plan for the replay now, which is next Saturday, I think, at 3 o'clock? Because if they're going to put Aidan on Kieran and make a bold move like that, then they're capable of doing anything, aren't they?
Yeah, but look, I mean, we'll control ourselves. We'll allow Mayo, you know, they'll focus on themselves and getting their game plan right. We'll concentrate on ourselves and make sure that we're right and ready for next weekend. And after that, then we can only, you know, we can control ourselves. We can't control what Mayo are going to do.
Does it suit you that people are so obsessed with what teams are going to do to stop Kieran?
Again, like, I mean, I'm not privy to what other teams are going to be discussing or what they're going to do. You know, we focus on ourselves. We obviously look at the opposition and who their danger men are and so on. But for the most part, we focus on ourselves and try to get our own performance right. And if we get that right, we'll win most games.
What's the situation with Donica Walsh? Missed out today. Could he be back next week?
Hopefully, but it's too early to say. He's a bit of a hamstring strain, so we'll just have to wait and see.
He's a big loss because he puts in so much work, and obviously then you're kind of reduced in options off the bench as well. So if he's not available next week, it's a loss. I'm sure you can cope with it, but it's a loss.
Oh, it is, of course, and you want all of your players available and you want all of your squad available, so it is a loss. But look, that's why you have a panel, you absorb it, and we'll see. We'll give Dunnock a week, and who knows, he might make the weekend.
How much will this extra game bring you on, because players want to play, don't they?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Look, it'll help us, and it was a huge battle. We'll get it turned around now for 6 days' time and get ready to go again, and look forward to that.
Cheers, Eamon.
Eamon Fitzmaurice, and before him, Stephen Rochford, speaking to Off the Ball's post-match podcast from Croke Park, where the Seagulls are swirling around following a dramatic day. 2-14 apiece, the final score. Coming up, the analysis of Paul Early, but before him, let's hear from Mossy Quinn, who was watching with Off the Ball. Dave McIntyre caught up with him after the game, and Dave quite simply put it to him that it was a hard one to get your head around, especially that soon after the match.
Where to start is even the first bit, Dave. It was incredible game, absolutely brilliant. So many different talking points throughout, and I suppose you have to just again pay tribute to the character shown by Mayo. They had a couple of chances when it was a draw game. Andy Moran kicked a free away. He'd been brilliant all day, but he forced a free looking to go inside, and Chris Barrett forced an effort wide, and then when you saw Kerry go down and work a score again, he kicks a score to put them in front, and you kind of have the feeling that, you know, it could be just Kerry's day. But in fairness to Mayo, they worked the chance, and Paddy Durkin kicked a great equaliser, and I think they'll be happy to get, they'll obviously be delighted to get out of here when you get to kick the equaliser 4 minutes into injury time. You're happy to get another go at it.
One of the major points to come out of last year's championship was the big call made by Stephen Rocher to drop his goalkeeper and bring Rob Hennelly in. It cost him the All-Ireland. He's a manager who's shown so previously that he's got the balls to make massive calls when he thinks he needs to. Today he put Aidan O'Shea on Donaghy, left him on him for the entire game. And maybe everybody in the stadium bar Stephen Rocher could see that it wasn't only not working, but it was backfiring massively.
It was backfiring, yeah, absolutely. For me, it didn't work. And I suppose, but when you say it was backfiring, the big fear about Kieran Donaghy coming in was that he was going to dominate the aerial balls coming in, and like the goal he got against Galway in the quarterfinal, or goals he scored in the past against Mayo. And he didn't win any of those balls. Now, only one went into him, and it was a real nothing ball, and Aidan O'Shea, in fairness, came out with it. So from Rocher's point of view, maybe he'll look at that as a win, and his management team will say, look, that took away the threat we were worried about. But Donaghy's so much more than just a long ball man. Like, he's so much more to his game. He brought so many players into play today, set up so many scores, had a hand and put a goal on a plate for Stephen O'Brien in the first half, kicked a great score himself, and just his normal traditional full forward movement caused Aidan O'Shea a lot of problems. And Aidan was trying, but you could just see he's not a natural defender. He wasn't really sure, even in terms of his footwork, which way to turn, which way not to turn. He was back to the play a couple of times, and it was tough going for him out there. And to be honest, I was surprised they left it on for the whole game. And I'd say it's something they'll review in the 6 days before we come back next week.
We'll come back in a moment to your call as to whether or not they're going to go with O'Shea on Donaghy again next weekend. But is it fair to say that, I'm not saying that Eamon Fitzmaurice is an avid listener to Off the Ball and David Brady or anything, but somebody went to the Kerry camp in their midst of their preparations, the possibility of Aidan O'Shea marking Kieran Donaghy would have come up, and that Donaghy would have said, lads, if that happens, we're away, because he might deny me my fair share of ball in the air, but I'll beat him on the ground. And Kerry clearly decided the tactic of using Donaghy directly just wasn't the tactic that was going to work today, because they only sent one ball into him. We'll beat him on the ground, and they did so. I don't know how many times Donaghy got the ball in his hands 10 yards off Aidan O'Shea.
Yeah, and look, there's a lot of football intelligence within this Kerry team. Guys out the pitch realise the matchups and the benefits, and the likes of David Moore and Stephen O'Brien, they were getting good ball into Donaghy. But Donaghy realised himself, he says, look, maybe there's no point in him standing there in a kind of physical battle with Aidan O'Shea when it, at best, it's probably 50-50. Whereas he knew his movement was good enough. He has been shown out in front well all summer as well, so it's not just today. And he was confident to come out and get it. And Kerry a couple of times probably didn't have the runners, the strike runners they would have liked coming off the shoulder.
He's shown well out in front against defence. So today he's up a guy that thinks like a forward. It's going to make it even easier.
Absolutely, and there was a number of times where not only did he get out in front and win it, he was that far out in front he could win it, turn and then kind of make a decision on which pass to give. He'd options to give, rather than sometimes when you see him winning in front of a defender, he gets it and gives it all in one go because there's a defender up behind him. Whereas today he had more time on it, and his movement was very good. Like, Kieran's very intelligent, he knows where to go, knows to pick up those little pockets. But a couple of times today he got it, I would say, too cheaply from a Mayo perspective. He was picking it up too easily, and I think that's something they'd like to press on next week.
We're thinking of the 2:14 that Kerry scored. We'd need to watch the match back again as the Tannoy system interrupts us here. If we were to watch the game back again, possibly 1-8, 1-9, maybe even as much as 1-10. Didn't come directly off Donaghy, but came from moves in which he got himself on the ball.
Yeah, he was involved with so much, and he makes himself so available. And in fairness, his movement was excellent. Like, a lot of the times in the past, he stayed in around that penalty spot, knowing that the long ball is coming in. Whereas today, and again, whether it was just the awareness that it was Aidan O'Shea that was tracking him, but he was moving, and it seemed to be gain. He stayed in a lot closer to goal, and Kieran made some brilliant moves. And like that, Kerry are good. They're smart getting off him, and they used it to their advantage. And again, they look at it and they'll obviously plan how much time they would have put into thinking it was Aidan O'Shea. I would say minimal. I'd say they thought he was probably fourth or fifth choice to come in and mark him. Whereas this week, if they think they have a full week to prep on that, I'd imagine that they'll see more coming off Donaghy next week as well.
So you think when they spend hours poring over the film of this game and they come back here next Saturday, that he's going to be on him again?
I just think if you look at it from a management perspective, the assumption is that they wanted to stop the aerial ball going into Kieran Donaghy and the damage he does from that, like the goals he's got. If that was the aim, they did that today. They stopped him doing that. Now they got
Well, why in your eyes is Aidan O'Shea the best equipped of all the big men in this Mayo squad to do that?
I don't know that he is. It's not a call I would have made, so it's not something I'd do next weekend. But it's just, they obviously felt he's obviously physically the best man to deal with Donaghy. And even from a mental perspective, Aidan's a character in terms of, he mightn't get, like you saw Donaghy was out in his face a couple of times. I'm sure Aidan's got that many times in his career. Maybe it wouldn't affect him. Maybe the Mayo management feel it might get to some of the other players trying to mark the challenge of marking Donaghy is more than just the physical and the football side he brings. So maybe they felt Aidan was the best suited to deal with that. But for me, it's not a move I'd make again. But but if they are judging it on the fact that he didn't win any clean balls, he didn't score a goal, clean balls in the air, he didn't score a goal, but over the course of the game, Donaghy clearly won that battle, and you've got to think the Mayo management will look at it. But if it is just a goal to stop them getting high balls, then you might see it again next week.
And at the other end of the field, you've got a Peter Crowley, most likely, is the player thinking, I've got through this semi-final, I haven't had to spend a minute marking Aidan O'Shea. You're losing not only in your own full back line, you're also losing at the other end of the field, whereby one of the best attacking players you have in your squad, potentially one of the most influential in winning high ball and being physical, just isn't in that part of the field.
Absolutely. Like Mayo in the second half, you know, they were looking at times to drive forward and drive on, and they do have guys that can go at pace, and Lee Keegan was pretty quiet again today. Paddy Durkin came on and made a couple of good runs, but there's certainly times where I'm sure the Mayo forwards are looking going, wouldn't it be great to have Aidan up here beside us, Aidan carrying the ball through the middle and a little give and go, which he's done in the past. And in fairness to him, he did his job for the team today. He was asked to do a very specific role and he did it. And Mayo were obviously looking to get ball inside. There was a lot of space inside in their full forward line, and that's where they got most joy today.
Andy Moore in 1-5 from play, life of the old dog yet. He was superb and pretty much gobbled up every chance that came his way, bar one.
He did, he was excellent. His movement was really good. He was out in front, and his decision making when he got the ball, like, he's getting the ball in good spots. He's not making, you know, there was only once or twice he was winning the ball out in the corner. He's obviously trying to get there in the scoring zone, and he's very, very accurate. You know, he'd won wide in the first half, which he snatched at a little bit, but other than that, his use of the ball was excellent, and he was unlucky not to have a second goal as well.
Colin Boyle taken off early again today, earlier than he has been taken off at any stage in this year's championship. Do you think he was performing badly enough to be taken off before the 50th minute?
No, again, to me, at this stage, it's definitely not down to performance. It's obviously some sort of predetermined decision relating to Colin, whether he's carrying an injury, whether they feel he only has X amount of minutes in his legs, whether it's a medical thing. I don't know, but again, he was performing extremely well. He scored a brilliant goal. He was driving forward. He was good on the ball, strong in the tackle. So you've got to wonder, you know, to be honest, I actually thought when they took him off so early there might have been a possibility we might have seen him come back on for the last 10 minutes. I know that's been discussed a little bit, probably more so around Andy Moran, but Boyle was having such an influence, I thought we would have seen him again. Now Durkin did make a good impact. They were obviously anxious to make sure he got on and got good game time, so you could say from a management perspective it might have balanced out. He kicked the equaliser, but I don't see why you couldn't have both of them there for longer periods.
And Dermot O'Connor taking off earlier again, another player who's struggling to live up to the incredible standards he set for himself when he was the Young Footballer of the Year. I know injury has been a major influence in his career over the last 18 months or so, but overall I would just worry from a Mayo point of view that Andy Moran was the difference today. The 34-year-old inside forward scoring 1-5 from play, the guys you hope to pick up the slack from that point of view, they didn't perform.
Yeah, Dermot was very quiet by his standards today. The game seemed to pass him by at times. He got on a couple of balls out around the middle, but never really threatened. No real driving runs, no finishing runs, and a lot of the times he seemed he was getting checked off the ball by the Kerry defenders, again within reason, but it seemed to stop his runs. You'd like to see him drive through that and really go with intent and try and get on the end of some of those passes. And Jason Doherty again showed very well. He had a tough time. He was the one coming out, leaving the room inside for Killian and Andy, and again he got on a bit of ball, but he didn't add a huge scoring threat to it, you know. So Killian kicked a couple of brilliant scores near the end, but again I would argue if his movement was on a par with Andy's, he would have more value to Mayo, and he'd probably get more chances as well.
And bar one or two real effective forays into the Kerry half, Lee Keegan was kept in his box for pretty much most of the game.
Very quiet, yeah. Again, he was playing in a more advanced role. He didn't really have a man marking role today, which is different than what he's had in recent games. And you know, it's funny, you would think that would free him up to have more impact on a game, but it didn't. Again, it was another one where it probably passed him by. He didn't get the ball into his hands as much as he would have liked, and it's a difficult condition for carrying the ball at pace. But yeah, he was certainly quieter, and Mayo will be looking for a bigger performance from him next week.
So finally, when you look at it, which of the two teams has more scope for improvement?
Oh, it's marginal, I would say. You know, probably I would say Kerry slightly feel they probably underperformed in the last couple of minutes. I think it'd be big if Dunica Walsh is fit, you know, from a team perspective for Kerry next week. I think they missed him today out around that middle, and even adding that freshness in around the middle third would be big for them. But look, it's going to be, again, as these two teams have shown, there's going to be this very, very fine margins between them. So again, it'll be about recovery this week, and I think it's going to be as close again.
And if Mayo are to win, Sam, after all these years going back to 51, they're going to have to play 10 games minimum. That's assuming they get through next weekend and they don't play in an All-Ireland final that goes to a replay. It could be 11.
Yeah, but look, I think if anything with this Mayo team, I don't think if they're ever going to win, Sam, I don't think it's ever going to be an easy route or a straightforward route, the way this team have done things. And again, their heart and their character came to the fore again today in the last few minutes. And look, they'll relish the challenge next week. People will make a big deal about the number of games, but this is why players train. There's a terrible ratio of training to games, whereas Mayo are booking bucking that trend this summer. They're the ones playing matches and they'll be loving it. Yes, they'll be tired, but it's a great opportunity for them to come out, and this is where they want to be, and next Saturday won't come quick enough for them.
Thanks, Mossy.
Thanks, Dave. Take it easy.
Mossy Quinn and Dave McIntyre on the Off the Ball post-match podcast. Don't forget all our GA coverage on News Talk, brought to you by Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. Follow hashtag hurling to the core. A lot more analysis to come tomorrow night from 7 on Off the Ball. That's tomorrow night if you're listening on Sunday evening. It's obviously tonight from 7 if you're listening on Monday. Right, let's get more analysis now from Paul Early, who is here for Sky Sports. And we had a good chat about a lot of the stuff that happened today. So much to analyse from this game, but obviously we kind of concentrated on Donaghy being picked up by Aidan O'Shea. Before that, though, I asked Paul's general thoughts about the game.
I thought it was an extraordinary game of football. Thought two teams just went at it. Obviously, conventional football, no sweepers for the vast majority of the game. It was very open. And in the conditions that were out there as well, you know, really high quality game, some extraordinary skill level, you know, four goals, lots of chances, mistakes, errors. As I said, great skill. I thought it was just an outstanding game of football, and privileged to be here and really delighted that it ended up in a draw as a neutral, and looking forward immensely to the replay.
Really great execution of skills, which is remarkable when you consider how poor the weather is. It's blustery, it's rainy. We've actually come inside to do this rather than doing it out in the press box because it's so windy and cold. But the skills on show today were immense on both sides.
No doubt about that. And I think it's, you know, it's a reflection of the work that's been done at coaching for 20 years in the GAA. You know, people talk about the past. I've had the view for a long time that the skill level of the modern day footballers is so far ahead of you know, 10, 20 years ago. And you could see that today. Players just in very tight conditions with no space, under pressure, slippy underfoot conditions, rain coming down, blustery, as you said, were able to manufacture space for themselves, little dummy solos, little bounces, you know, moving from right foot to left foot, comfortable on both sides of the body, and playing some extraordinary football in those conditions. And I think that to me was just a joy to watch. And I'd have to give credit to both sides to be able to execute those skills in under pressure in those conditions.
Now, obviously, it's not long after the game, so we haven't had a chance to watch it back, but you'd probably need to watch it back a couple of times to spot everything that went on and all the nuanced things. But one thing that jumped out for everyone, I guess, is Aidan O'Shea marking Kieran Donaghy, which means that Aidan O'Shea essentially was full back for a lot of the time. What did you make of that? Was it the right thing to do? Did it work?
In an answer, no, I don't think it was the right thing to do. I think I can understand why they were thinking about it and why they went that route, because they wanted to match aerial prowess with aerial prowess. But in wet conditions, the tall full forward doesn't work as well. You know, it's easier to break the ball. They're not going to catch it as cleanly. They don't have as much time in the ball. And the quality of ball doesn't come in. You know, the distribution isn't as good because players don't have as much time on the ball to kick the quality passes inside. So I think it didn't work. I think that Aidan O'Shea played with the instinct more, not as a defender. And I think on a few occasions, for example, the first goal that Kerry got was an example where, OK, it was a mistake by Mayo, they lost possession midfield, but the ball went to Kieran Donaghy. He was way out in the, you know, 45-metre line further out. He won the ball. Aidan O'Shea dropped back to protect the goal. When Kieran Donaghy turned, a normal defender's instinct would be to be tight to him, and Kieran Donaghy would have expected when he turned to have a defender, you know, tackling him hard. When he turned, he had green grass in front of him, and he's such a good player that he was able to carry the ball through, look up, make the decision, see Stephen O'Brien on his left, pass it to O'Brien, take Aidan O'Shea out of play, and he got the goal. Now, that happened then. It happened for his point shortly afterwards, where Aidan went to where he got the ball out in front of Aidan. Aidan made the move to go to the player who he thought he was going to pass to, and when Donaghy turned, he had time again to kick the ball. That happened continually throughout the game. Yeah. And Kieran Donaghy can play the game so many different ways. He's a great distributor as well as a scorer, and I think he distributed, he caused an awful lot of damage in that distribution kind of role in the second half. I think Mayo needed to push Aidan O'Shea forward in the last 10 or 15 minutes to have that experience in front of goal in the forward line, because in the last 10 minutes, the ball was going to the wrong players, Mayo players, as they were going forward, and they missed opportunities as a result. I think they needed somebody of his experience and his stature and his ability to draw players in and to give passes in that last 10 minutes. And I think Mayo missed a trick by not doing that.
Is it something that they can learn in a week? Is it something that Aidan O'Shea can take from this game. If they put him on Donaghy again next week, do you think he will stick to him like glue and he will be a man marker? Because there was times where he actually broke ball off Donaghy. There was one incident I remember, I think in the first half, where he won a ball, he got a big cheer from the crowd. It was more relief maybe than anything else. But the moments you mentioned, would that happen again next week? Can you learn to be a man marker in a week if you're Aidan O'Shea?
There was one high ball that went into Kieran Donaghy and Aidan O'Shea broke it away from him. He won in the game. And you know, Kerry aren't going to continually kick high ball into Kieran Donaghy. That's not their game. They'll do it occasionally. They did it against Galway for 10 minutes. They didn't do it in the second half against Galway. So Kieran Donaghy spent a lot of his time out at the sideline, drawing Aidan O'Shea away from the play. I think Mayo have got to go with a different strategy next week. They've got to.
You think Fitzmaurice will be absolutely delighted to see O'Shea picking up Donaghy again next week?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I think it is too difficult to, you know, to turn yourself into a full back in a very short space of time. Just the instinct of a full back is, you know, to be tight, to be ferocious.
But is there a difference between a man marker and a full back? And did he get kind of confused between the two? He was minding the space rather than minding the man.
Yeah, but I think in the forward line, you cannot give players space. Yeah. That's the one thing that, you know, any team, any management will tell you, you cannot, or any defender will think, you cannot give a forward space. Mm-hmm. When Kieran Donaghy won the ball and he turned, he had space today. And a player of his quality and his decision-making ability was able then to find a pass because he had nobody on him, because Aidan was dropping back off him, not marking him tight enough. Now, can you fix that in a week? No, because Mayo aren't going to be doing much this week. They're only going to be getting together a couple of times. They're not going to be doing anything physical. You know, you're not going to be able to change that in a week. I thought when Mayo had the game and the game was there to be won, and that's when they needed to push him, in my view, forward, certainly in the last 15 minutes.
We had a chat with Eamon Fitzmaurice and Stephen Rochford after the game, and because there's kind of time limits on the interviews, there's a lot of stuff we didn't get into with them. One thing I didn't get into with Eamon was his selection at midfield. Do you think Jack Barry starts next week alongside David Moran? That will add a bit of legs, because the trouble Kerry had when Mayo did expose them, it was through sheer pace.
I think so. I think he did make a difference. I think Tom Parsons did cause Anthony Marr some trouble. Parsons got 2 points from play in the second half going through the middle. He can do that, and he can do that very effectively. So I think that Kerry will probably make a few changes. They obviously have a concern in the full back line, because the full back line was under severe pressure today. Whether they go with the sweeper, it's not in their DNA to do that. But I would say Eamon Fitzmaurice's management team will look very closely at that and perhaps make some changes there, because Mayo certainly made hay. You know, when you look at the contribution of Jason Doherty, probably had one of his best games ever for Mayo. Andy Moran kicking 1-5 from play. Killian O'Connor playing well as well, even though he wasn't as prolific from frees. He still scored 3 points from play. So
he'd argue as well he created the goal by spilling it to Andy Moran.
Well, yeah, look, in a wet day as well, those things can happen. You get the ball in the danger area, you know, it was a lucky break. Yeah. Defenders had committed and it went inside. That can happen. Yeah. You can't legislate for that. So I think Kerry will have to make some changes, because they will not be happy with the way they performed today, certainly in their full back line. And even in their forward line, their half forward, like Johnny Buckley was taken off. He had a great game against Galway. He will be better the next day. I have no doubt about that, that he will be better the next day. So in terms of scope for improvement, you know, you probably say Kerry have probably more scope for improvement when you look at what they have and maybe the bench that they have. But, you know, in terms of resilience and never say die attitude and, you know, continuing to deliver, you know, you can never bet against the Mayo team.
Do they need to get more from James O'Donoghue? Is he under pressure to start next week?
Well, perhaps he is, but I thought, you know, in the first half, towards the end of the first half, I thought he was getting on the ball quite a bit. Kerry were beginning to find their form. They were beginning to kick those kind of bouncing passes in front of Donoghue, which is that precision football that is such a feature of their game. I thought that was working well for them, and he brought other players into the game then as a result. You know, it seems to me as maybe he's not fully fit, maybe he's still carrying a bit of an injury. But on a dry day, you know, if it's dry next week, he can still deliver. And I think I'd be sticking with James O'Donoghue based on his pedigree and his previous performances. He works well with Paul Geaney as well.
Yeah. We've just heard Eamon Fitzmaurice say he doesn't know whether or not Donica Walsh will be back next week. Whether or not that is the case, we don't know. But how big a loss is he to carry? How big a boost would it be if they did have him back next week?
Oh, a huge boost. He just gets on the ball so much and he makes so many good runs and such good decisions as well. And I think his experience alone in that half forward line would have been...
Today would have suited him down to the ground.
It would, yeah, because if you go back 2 years ago to the semi-final against Tyrone, in similar conditions as well, I think he was very, very good that day. He'll find the pass. He's continuous motion, great engine. But his experience, I think, would have been invaluable today when they were under pressure. And perhaps what they may have done is maybe with his experience, they may have dropped him back a little bit, maybe to cover in front of the full back line, because for long periods it was 3v3 in the Kerry defence, and there was loads and loads of space in there. And you know, a player of his ability might have recognised that early. Yeah. In the game and said, right, I need to be dropping back in there and closing off those avenues of supply into that three-man Mayo forward line.
Well, Paul Early, you're back next Saturday here in Croke Park at 3 o'clock for the replay. Kerry against Mayo, you'll be on with Sky Sports. Thanks for joining us on Off the Ball's post-match podcast.
Thank you, Oisin.
Well, that's it for Off the Ball's post-match podcast from a cold, wet and miserable Croke Park. But as I said at the start, the conditions were miserable. The game was not. Let's hope we get another belter between these two next Saturday at 3 o'clock. Off the Ball will be there. We'll also be here on Sunday for Tyrone against Dublin in the other All-Ireland semi-final. All our GA coverage on Off the Ball brought to you by Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. Follow hashtag hurling to the core. From myself, Oisin Langan, in Croke Park, it's goodbye. Thanks for tuning in.